Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
All right, I'm on. Okay. Well, I want to talk about what our default setting is. We all have one. Don't we have something that's just ingrained in us? Some people are naturally happy. Some people are not so happy. You know, some people are kind of negative. Some people are positive. So we all have a default setting. So I'm asking you today, what is yours? And we're going to go through some of these. So let's go to the second slide. That's me in the morning. No, but my husband is a morning person. So my husband wakes up and he's singing and he's just so happy. And that's why I look at him. Isn't it? You won't get in trouble. I'm like, be quiet. It's morning. You're not supposed to be happy. Don't be happy. Let's go to the next one. Aww. That's... Yeah. Yeah, after I shut him down, that's Brian. Yeah. Bless his heart. Okay, let's look at the next one. I'm happy. Just a happy kid, you know? Kids are really open with their emotions, aren't they? If they feel like throwing a tantrum, they will lay in that floor and they will throw a tantrum. We have learned that we kind of throw the tantrum on the inside, right? We don't actually lay in. That would be funny, though. Oh, and a little sad. We laid in the floor and just threw a tantrum. But, you know, kids are just open with their emotions. But wouldn't it be great if we all, if this was our default, we're all just happy all the time. That would be great. I'm working on the inner ape so that I don't act like that. But, yeah, all right. Humans are emotional beings and can be ruled by their emotions. Sometimes we let our emotions rule us. They are the boss of us sometimes. That noise is... No, it's the thing. Yeah. So now I'm going to grumble about it because that's our next slide, grumbling. A lot of us grumble. And I thought I would look, but I looked at the scripture about not grumbling and complaining and arguing and that kind of stuff. And I looked at the original word, the meaning of it. And the meaning of grumbling is to murmur, mutter, grumble, you know, say something against in a low tone, kind of, you know, blah, blah, blah. It says of the cooing of doves. Now, a lot of us think when you hear doves coo that it's kind of peaceful. But you know, when they do it a lot, it gets yes. Yes. And of those who confer secretly together, like I come and I grumble with you and I tell you what I'm upset about. And of those who discontentedly complain, just a complainer. Philippians 2:12-13 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. You know what that word everything means there? If you go back to the original language, everything. They thought I was going to be real deep there for a minute, Steve. Kind of, yeah. But it means everything. It means exactly what it says. So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. Grumbling and complaining. What was the Israelites' big problem? Grumbling and complaining against God, didn't they? Exodus 14:11-13 says, they said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than die in the desert. really? I mean, they were really griping about serving the Egyptians and having to make brick without straw and all this stuff, and now, you know, they say it'd be better doing that. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." So God was going to take care of it, but the Egyptians were grumbling and complaining. Arguing. Now, I found this to be fascinating, because when I looked up the original word arguing in the Bible, the thinking of a man deliberating with himself, a thought or inward reasoning. So you can be arguing with yourself. It's not necessarily a dispute with somebody else. Purpose or design, a deliberating questioning about what is true, hesitation, doubting, disputing, or arguing. And these lead to complaining. Now, if you're unhappy, you're negative, you're arguing, grumbling, it leads to complaining. Psychology Today said that there are like three types of complainers. Okay, one is the chronic complainer. We all know folks who complain all the time. I am actually, there's somebody that is a friend on Facebook, and they'll put stuff on there like, "I give up. This is the worst day of my life." You know, yes, or Ned, as the case may be, yes. So chronic complainers, they never are happy about anything. The second type of complainer is the venting complainer, where I just need to vent. You know, usually you're okay, but you just feel like you need to vent. We do this at work, actually. My boss will come in sometimes and she'll say, "I just need to vent." And I've done it to her. I just need to vent. And we'll say our piece, and we'll get sympathy from the other person, which is really what we want. We want somebody to feel sorry for us. And then we're better, and we go on. But we don't think about it all the time. We don't dream about it. We don't, you know, let it ruin our life and think, "This is the worst day of my life because I have vented this morning." But, you know, you show that anger and frustration or disappointment, and you solicit the attention of the people you're confiding in when you're venting. And the last type of complaint is the instrumental complaint. And this is where you see a problem. It may be that you are in a restaurant, you get your food, and your food is cold. And it's supposed to be hot. Not a salad. It's supposed to be hot. And saying something about it so they can correct the issue. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's constructive. When people come to me at work and they have an issue, and it's constructive, it's like, you know, "Hey, I noticed this was going on in the waiting room, and, you know, is there any way you could, you know, maybe you could think of a way to do this better?" Tell me. I'm all for people coming to me with that kind of thing. As long as it's not like a chronic, ridiculous, you know, complaint. It says, one study suggests that the instrumental complainers, the ones who are really constructively trying to help, make up fewer than 25% of all complaints, though. Because most of us just complain just because we like to complain. In one study, researchers found that happy people complain less. If you're happy, you complain less. Then they said there are two things you can do when you feel the need to complain. And one of them is to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. And I don't have a slide for any of this. So cultivate an attitude of gratitude. It says taking time to contemplate what you're grateful for isn't merely the right thing to do. It reduces stress by 23%. It reduces your stress level when you're thankful and happy. So any time you experience negative or pessimistic thoughts, and we all do, use that as your cue to shift gears. You can teach yourself to stop doing that. You can teach yourself not to go down that path of continually complaining, think, "Oh, I'm complaining, okay, what do I have to be thankful for?" And start being thankful for some things. Another thing that can be a default, which we don't want it to be, is anger. We don't want anger to be a default, do we? James 1:19-20 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Now, I'm going to talk to you a minute about anger, but it's not necessarily human anger, because my two cats get angry at each other. And we have one who she just wants to play, but the older cat does not want to play. And she gets angry. And even if she gets under the covers, thinking no one can see her under the covers, the other cat comes up and you can hear her hissing and kind of batting trying to bat the other cat with her paws, even though she's under the covers. And it's just a ruckus. It's a ruckus. You know what's going on when you start hearing this happen, because the one cat is angry. She wants to be left alone. But sometimes we as people act like cats. Because we get angry too. When we get angry, what do? We lash out at people when we shouldn't do that. And we can't really do anything constructive when we're angry. We're not reasonable usually. I had a man at work who was very upset about the situation with his bill. So he wanted to talk to a manager. So I got him on the phone. I've talked to people about their bills before who were angry, okay? And they would yell, and they would curse, and they would do all of that stuff. And there was no reasoning with them. They wouldn't even listen. They didn't want you to listen and really fix the problem. They just wanted to scream and gripe. This man, his default wasn't anger. His default was just frustration. He was just frustrated. He calmly told me what the problem was, said he needed help. I was able to help him, and he was grateful. You know? So there's really not a lot of reason for us to get angry and act out. I mean, I know there are some things that anger all of us. It angers us when we look on the news and we see somebody's been abused or something like that, you know? But acting out in that and treating people unkindly because we're mad isn't a good reason to do that. So we've got to be careful. So don't let anger be your default. But the word anger, the definition is anger, the natural disposition, temper, character. I don't want anger to form my character. That kind of got me when I heard that. Movement or agitation of the soul. Impulse, desire, any violent emotion, but especially anger. Anger, wrath, indignation. Anger exhibited in punishment, hence used for punishment itself. Punishment inflicted by magistrates. We just got to be careful that we control that anger. This scripture in James really means a lot to me, because my default for a long time was anger. I would just, bad hair day, throw the hairbrush, it's the hairbrush's fault, whatever. You know, just have a hissy fit. That used to be my default, but this scripture in James really made me realize, wow, I'm not doing anything for the Lord when I'm acting like this, when people see me acting like this, you know? I've really got to be careful. And so acting out like that is not pleasing to the Lord, so we've got to be careful. Or is your default obedient? And be thankful. We need to start getting in the habit of being thankful. Wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I thank you for this warm bed I'm laying in. I thank you for a roof over my head. Right? I many times on the way to work just start listing things. Thank you for my parents. I thank you that I was raised in a good home. So many people aren't. They have so many issues, and I'm so thankful for that. Thankful I was raised in a Christian home, you know? Thankful I have a good husband. Thankful I have a job. Thankful I have a car that has heated seats. There are things to be thankful for, right? There's no reason for any of us to go around being unthankful or ungrateful for what God has given us. And then catch yourself during the day when something happens, say, thank you, Lord, for that. The other day I was driving and all of a sudden, there was, really it was all of a sudden, I didn't veer out of my lane or anything. But you know those big round yellow things that they use, especially in construction sites along the, not the little cones, but the big round ones. One of them was right in the middle of my lane, and I hit it. And I was like, there was nowhere to go. I swerved a little bit, but then I saw the car over here, and I thought, well, I can't go there. So I really closed my eyes. I know that probably wasn't the best thing to do. But I closed my eyes, and I hit it. But I thought, thank you, Lord. I didn't have a wreck. You know, it did minimal damage to the car, just a little bit underneath. I can see where something kind of peeled back. But it tore that thing all up. It just shattered. And I thought they were made of rubber, but it just shattered. But, you know, just when things like that happen, just thank the Lord. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for that. If you get a good deal, you're shopping, ladies, you get a good deal in the store. Oh, well, thank you. I got an extra 20% off or whatever. You know, thank you. You know, let's be thankful people. Really thank the Lord for what he does for us. So what is your default setting? What is it? Take a minute and think about it. Are you naturally grumpy? Are you naturally happy? Are you a very thankful person that you really, you know, take the time to thank the Lord for all he's done for you? Is your default setting grumbling, arguing? Some people like to argue. I think it gives them pleasure. I'm not sure. Anger, obedience, or is your default setting holding on to God, thankfulness? What is your default setting? And whatever your default setting is, if it's one of the negative ones, the grumbling, arguing, or anger, you can change that. You have to let the Holy Spirit work in you. You can't change it by yourself. I could never change the anger by myself, but the Holy Spirit could work in me. When I realized that I needed to change, that's what they always tell you. You have to know you need to change first, right? You can't otherwise. Then I knew that when I let him help me, he did. Just have to let him open up. Or is your default obedience, holding on to God, and thankfulness? When something comes that really rocks your world, is the first thing you think, I am going to dig into Scripture. I am holding on to the Lord. I am not going to go to anger, and I'm not going to go to grumbling and complaining. I'm going to stay thankful no matter what. I am so amazed by Gloria's niece. I mean, I am amazed by Julie because she has been given a terminal diagnosis, and she is posting stuff on Facebook. It's not, oh, woe is me. It is, God is good. I had a great day today. I got to go walking. It's the little, I got to swing on a swing. It's the little things. She is thankful for every minute. She is thankful that she still has a good quality of life. She is thankful. And I'm just so impressed by her. And that is what we need to be. When things come and rock our world and we think, oh dear, this is a horrible thing, we need to default to thankfulness. Really be thankful for what God has given us. So then my question would be, is your default setting pleasing to God? Because that's the bottom line. Whatever our default setting is, ask yourself, is it pleasing to God? If it's not, you know you need to change it, right? So let's just take a minute just to pray about this and ask the Lord to help us. We all have different default settings. Every one of us have different ones. And some are pleasing and some are not. But we're just going to ask the Lord to help us. Father God, we just come before you so very thankful for you, for your word, for your love for us. And you just want us to be the very best children we can be. So, Father, I ask that you would help us look at ourselves truthfully. Lord, that we would analyze ourselves correctly and what our default setting is. Are we a grumbler? Are we a complainer? Do we default to anger? Or do we default to obedience and thankfulness and holding on to your word? Father, give each one of us a true estimation. Show us what we need to change. Show us in what areas we need to grow in. We could probably never have too much thankfulness, so we could always grow in that. We could never be too obedient to you, so we could always grow in that as well. And we can never hold on to you tight enough. So Lord, I ask that you would help us to gravitate toward these positive aspects, Father, and not the negative. Lord, I ask that you help us to just draw closer to you every day. Your Holy Spirit would fill your presence every day. And we would just become that light and that salt that you want us to be. Because we know that we, in and of ourselves, we can't do it by ourselves. We need you to help us. We need you to make us and mold us into what you want us to be. And I, Lord, am just telling you right now that for myself, I just turn myself over to you. Just make me what you want me to be, Lord. Let me be obedient. Let me be thankful. Lord, I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. I ask that you just move in each life here. And we ask it in Jesus' name.